Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And welcome to First Strike here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down a very intriguing fight card that we have Saturday coming up here at the UFC Fight Night 214, Marina Rodriguez is going to take on Amanda Lemos-Shear in the main event at 115 pounds. Going to have a great group, as we always do each and every Friday here on First Strike. Lou Finocchiaro is standing by. James Lynch is going to join us. Dan Vreeland and Reed Kuhn from Washington, D.C. later on in the program. But without further ado, let's get to the man in Phoenix, Arizona himself, Lou Finocchiaro. You can follow him on Twitter as I do, at Gamblu, and the host of the About Business podcast. Lou, great to have you join us again on Friday. You and I get to talk First Strike, First Look on Tuesdays. I encourage people to take a listen to that fine program, because what we do is we try to find that value on Tuesday and see what might shift when we begin this conversation on a Friday. The weigh-ins, Rob and Matt, our fine producers here at VSiN, are telling me, man, we got people missing weight all over, but it looks like the fights are going to go on in earnest tomorrow here. What did you observe at the weigh-ins today, and does that affect the handicaps that you saw?
Well, first of all, Dave, this is a great program. It gets better every week, and I'm tickled to be a part of it and contribute. As far as the weigh-ins are concerned, as long as I've been doing this, and it's a long time, I don't even think I've ever remembered five different athletes missing weight. Now, of the five, one, Shayna Young, came back to the scale, and she, instead of missing by 1 pound over the limit, she was just a quarter of a pound. I think she's working hard to retain her earnings and make that weight. So it may only be four. Three of them missed pretty bad, but at least they made it look good as if they were appearing to cut the weight and make the limit, because they didn't weigh in until about the last 25 minutes or so of the two-hour window, which they have. One fighter came out 5 minutes after the weigh-in started, a pound and a half over the limit. That was the young Dawson fighter who takes on Mark Madsen. He walks onto the scale at 57 and a half, where the limit's 56, 5 minutes after weigh-ins. I'll say, trying to be nice, that he's pining for advantage, but behind the scenes, he's clearly cheating. He's taking advantage of the rules. Mm. And basically what he's saying is, I'm willing to give 20% or 30% of my purse away in order to hold advantage here, because Dawson's longer, taller, 10 years younger, both are wrestlers. That pound and a half, not only the weight itself, but the lack of having to cut it, gives him tremendous advantage, and it really rubs me the wrong way to see it.
It's a great point, Lou, and I know a lot of people that may be new to this space go, what's the big deal? It's just a pound and a half. I think you just laid it out why it's such a big deal. Certainly in the wrestling world, anybody who try to cut and get down to that final limit and cut those final pounds, it could be the toughest to do. It's really the grueling part of the process here. When you don't do that as a professional, it rubs me the wrong way as well. So I'm right there with you, Lou. Let's get to some of your plays that you like on this fight card. And I want to start off with the main event here with Marina Rodriguez. She's about a minus 225 betting favorite against Amanda Lemos. What do you make of this main event here, potentially five rounds for these ladies if they go the distance?
I love the clash of styles. The matchmakers at the UFC have really been giving us treats lately. In this fight, 115-pound ladies, the small cage really doesn't matter. They're going to have plenty of space to maneuver advantage. Marina Rodriguez, that's a 2 inches taller fighter, a little bit longer, and really survives, thrives on space, distance, and movement. Lemos, on the other hand, both these young ladies, Brazilian. Lemos is a little bit more the power striker, perhaps a little bit more well-rounded, surely more gifted on the ground should she be able to get the fight there. It's my opinion that Lemos has probably a little shorter window. I think she needs to do her work and her damage inside a couple, 2.5 rounds, because the longer this goes after 2 rounds, I think now Rodriguez's skill and precision just might take over the fight.
Yeah, and that's the thing here. When you look at the fight that go to the distance, you can get plus money, plus $1.10 if you don't want to pick a side there. But if you look at Rodriguez via decision, plus $1.65, do you think it would be a point style that she would win against Lemos, or do you think there is some finishing capabilities here for either lady?
That's a great question. I think Lemos wants to try and touch Marina and get her out of there, whether it's body or head attack. And I think for Rodriguez, the reason I didn't use her for decision is because I do believe if it gets late and Lemos gets a little tired, that Marina can finish. She's finished others, mm-hmm. and her punches are straight and she's direct, especially late. So I'm going to try not to be too greedy here and get too specific. I've cost myself some dollars with that. And I'm going to keep it simple and use just Rodriguez and hope she gets her hand raised.
It's burned me as well. And again, you look at how tightly those lines are. $2 here, plus $2 for Marina, KO, TKO, or DQ, and plus $1.65 via decision. So I think that's good advice. Sometimes you don't want to get too cute. If you like the favorite here, just lay it with Marina Rodriguez here, minus the 225. I want to get to Tagir Ulanbekov against Nate Maness here. And Nate right now is a solid dog at plus $1.85. What do you make of this matchup, and is this dog, in your eyes, live?
I think he's real live, and I really like the fact that he had little to no trouble making 25. Mm. Now, this is his first professional fight at 25 after fighting at 35, but the UFC wouldn't book the fight with Tagir unless he had shown them at the Apex that he could reach 25 in test trials. So I had confidence on Maness, I believe, or Maness, mm-hmm. that he would make the weight. Now, we looked at Tagir, who comes from the Khabib Nurmagomedov camp. And in fact, Maness's last fight was against a Nurmagomedov from that camp. And really, at 135, Maness couldn't withstand the wrestling pressure. Now, with Tagir, who really is a striker and doesn't utilizes wrestling as much. In the interviews this week, Tagir came out and clearly said he's going to use the same plan his teammate did, and I think that's not going to be as easy to execute now that Maness is dropped. He's a larger man, and he's surely aware of what's coming based on fighting, I think, a much stouter opponent in Nurmagomedov. For all those reasons, I think Nate Maness is live at 125 and is looking to prove something against someone that might be getting a little extra credit just because he's in the Nurmagomedov camp.
Yeah, that seems the way that the betting public always goes, right? If you're coming out of Khabib's camp there, we're going to back you financially, but maybe Nate there, plus $1.85, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Feels like a pretty good value play there as well. That should be an interesting potential 3-round matchup. I know you've got another play on the Bautista and Lopez bout here. What do you make of Mario Bautista against Benito Lopez? Maybe you think this might go a little bit quicker than people might anticipate.
Well, Dave, I got to disclose that I get a lot of spoon-fed information, mostly by way of teaching from the MMA lab. Mario Bautista is a bantamweight fighter at the MMA lab. And what he has there is a team of 4 UFC bantamweights: Casey Kenney, Sean O'Malley, Kyler Phillips, and Mario Bautista. All of those guys in the UFC, all doing well. Bautista, the most underrated, the most under the radar of all of them. Every bit the fighter all those guys are. Steel sharpens steel. So he's focused and ready to go. And he's going in against a guy in Lopez that hasn't fought since 2019. How does Lopez respond? You think that after the time off, he'd come out ripped, ready to go with improvements. And we haven't seen him fight yet, but we saw him stand on the scale. And for 136-pound limit, he weighed 138.5. Ooh. He looked as doughy as I do, you know, in a bathing suit. And that's not a compliment for a fighter, let me tell you. And so I really think Bautista is in a great position. I think he's really focused because he just signed a new contract. And I think he's a little bit upset that his opponent would disrespect him by coming in a wallowing 138.5.
Well, I just know that you and I both try to do our push-ups, so we try to hold back Father Time as best we can. No excuse.
I'm like Peyton Manning. I can do one. The other 99 I did at home.
I love it. So again, Bautista inside the distance there. Instead of laying the $3 price tag, you can get him at plus $1.65, Lou. I think that's a really smart way, instead of laying the big price, that you can get some plus money on the other side. If it goes that way that you see it. I want to get to the co-main very quickly in the couple minutes that we have left. Neil Magny against D-Rod here, Daniel Rodriguez. Very intriguing fight. Look, again, we've talked about it on Tuesday a little bit. If you're a Magny backer, especially as a dog, he's a guy that's cashed a lot of tickets for you. Now he's the favorite at minus $1.25. Does that surprise you? Do you think that's priced right?
It doesn't surprise me. I think that's probably how I viewed the fight from the beginning. Maybe Magny minus 130-ish based on experience. And this is going to sound really unusual to gamblers, but I use it to a degree. D-Rod's last fight against Ling Jing Liang was a really close fight that I think if you ask 100 people, 50 on one side, 50 on the other. It was my contention that maybe he got his hand raised there without warrant. And for that matter, sometimes karma can come back to you. Magny's no one to underestimate. He beats the guys he should, and he loses to the people that are in the top 10, 12. And this should be a fascinating fight that I can't give you a side because I keep going back and forth. But I lean to Neil Magny based on experience.
I thought Valich won that fight that you're referring to. I had a ticket on D-Rod, so I felt fortunate to get that. And I always try to remember those for the other ones where you feel like it went the other way on the judges' card. Very quickly, got about 30 seconds. Lou, tell the people what they get when they listen to the Bout Business podcast every Friday.
Short, sweet, 16 minutes, 17 minutes tops. It's final releases for each UFC card. I tape the podcast right after the weigh-ins. Appreciate you mentioning it, Dave, and I want to wish everybody out there good luck with the fight.
The best, Lou Finocchiaro. You got to follow him on Twitter as I do, at GamBlue. Great information each and every week. When we come back, we're going to catch up with James Lynch. We're going to go north of the border for this conversation next before this UFC card. Come on back. It's First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him. Style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Going to be able to bet on more than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for MMA events. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for all the terms and conditions. Back here on First Strike, Dave Ross here. A pleasure to go north of the border to Canada. Catch up with James Lentz. James is an MMA journalist for MMA News and Sports Kita MMA. Also follow him on, as I do, on Twitter at Lynch on Sports. James, great to have you back in the program, my friend. You know, just talked to Lou Finocchiaro, and we talked about all these fighters that struggle to make weight, five different fights affected by it. You have the luxury of talking to a lot of these fighters. Does it change your opinion of a handicap 24 hours before a fight when you see some fighters that really struggle to make that final weight cut?
It has to. And you're right. It's interesting. You know, Grant Dawson missed weight today. I spoke to Grant. Even though this fight's short notice, he was told that he was going to be on this card. So I was very surprised to hear him miss weight and add in the fact this guy used to fight at 145. So a little bit concerning there. I think you have to with certain fighters, especially when you look at them on the scales. I mean, even a guy like Nate Maness, who did make weight today at 125, it's his first time. He didn't look so hot. So those are things I do factor in just when it comes to confidence level in certain fighters.
James, let's talk about that a little bit here with Grant Dawson, who did miss weight, but the fight will go on here. He's a big favorite, over $2 betting favorite at -215. Do you then look at it and say, if I don't like the weight cut or the attempt even to make the weight cut at the end, pound and a half, it sounds like, is what he missed. Do those numbers then actually feel like it's an advantage to the guy that didn't cut the weight, even though he's got to give up 20%? It doesn't hurt us as gamblers per se, if we think that's going to be a major advantage for him come fight night.
I think you have to. And if you looked at the stare down, Grant did look a lot bigger than Mark Madsen as well. Just, you know, maybe the height and reach and all that. But I think in a case like that where, you know, he's not struggling, he's not, you know, they're not pulling him out to the weigh-ins. I mean, we've seen some pretty bad weigh-ins before with fighters trying to cut that weight. Grant didn't really look like that. I don't know what the issue was, but I think in his case, I think if anything, he's going to have that advantage, like you said.
Yeah, two wrestlers there. So let's see what happens there. If it does get down to the ground, that can be a big difference in it. You mentioned Nate Maness here, down at 125 pounds. He did make it 125 and a half against Ulan Bekov here. And we know that Ulan Bekov, of course, coming from the Khabib fight camp here. What do you make of this fight? And again, with the tough weight cut for Nate, do you think that makes him even a bigger dog in your eyes?
It's a little bit difficult to read this fight because I think the big question is, can Nate Maness perform like he did at bantamweight at flyweight? He'd actually had a pretty good run at bantamweight, just the one loss to Umar Nurmagomedov. He can hit like a truck. We've seen him get knockouts. Will that power translate even better to 125? I think it's possible. And I think fighting a guy like Ulan Bekov, who, let's be honest, did not look that great in his last fight against Tim Elliott, I think there's a possibility of an upset here with Nate. Again, the weigh-in is a little bit concerning, but saying that, it's all how you look on fight night. You're almost kind of taking a guess as to how he's going to perform, but I do think there is some value on Maness just with the price right now, considering that he does pack a punch, and I think he does have a puncher's chance in this fight.
And James, when I look at that fight potentially to go the distance, you'd have to lay some juice there at -$1.75. You mentioned Nate. We know the punching power going down now to 125. It could be even juicier here if you like him by KO, TKO, or DQ. Does he have the style that could win on points, or do you look at it and go, you know, +550, if I like the dog, even though you're getting almost $2 anyway, would you then say, well, the only method of victory that I see for Nate would be KO, TKO, or DQ to get him out of there, +550? Do you think that's a better play?
I think that, yeah, I do think the knockout prop is, or the inside the distance prop is the way to go, just because Nate had a decision not go his way in the last fight. I don't think he wants to go to the judges' scorecards here. He doesn't want to get paid by the hour, so to speak. He wants to go out there and make a statement. And remember, this is a new division for him. So if he gets an impressive finish here, who knows where he'll be ranked. I think it's a big opportunity for him. Again, he's never lost back-to-back fights in the UFC. He's got to win this fight. So that sort of tells me that we're going to see a little bit more urgency on the Maness side.
All right, those are the two fights here so far on the main event. I want to keep going up that main event card. Let's talk about Josh Parisian against Chase Sherman. Not a lot of big boys in the heavyweight division going to be on center stage on Saturday night, but these two guys are, and these are two big guys now. We're looking at guys 255, 265, pushing the limits here in the heavyweight division and pretty evenly priced. You've seen Chase now a small favorite at -$1.30. Josh, right now, a little plus money there, +$1.10. What do you make of this one here for guys 32, 33? Again, looking like mirrors here, 6'4", 6'4". And again, the reach is almost identical as well. So it feels like this thing's going to stay standing. Is that the way you see it playing out with the hands?
I do. I think we'll see a finish here. But honestly, I would stay away from this fight. You have two of the most inconsistent fighters in the division right now. That's why the price is so even. There's no real advantage for either fighter either. You mentioned they're both, I think, 6'4", about the same age around there. And just, again, very inconsistent. I gave the edge to Parisian, actually, because I really like the fact that he was able to come back in that last fight and knock out Alan Badeau. Chase Sherman is so hit or miss. This is his second or third stint with the UFC.
Yeah.
To me, it's too much of a gamble to go on either side here from a betting perspective. If I have to give an edge, like I said, I'll go Parisian. But to me, it's just two guys that if they're on, they look good. If they're not on, then it's really a gamble there. And I think if Parisian's on, he should be able to win this fight.
And look at the price point here, James, for the fight to go the distance, plus $1.65. So we are not anticipating this one to go all three rounds. Again, the under 2.5, really juiced to the under, minus $1.60. So to your point, it feels like somebody's going to make quick work of the other, right? We just don't see this going three rounds.
No, I think we'll see a finish here, whether it's, you know, early or late. But again, I think with both guys knowing that, you know, again, their job security, it's not very safe here in the heavyweight division. So I think, again, you'll see some urgencies there. You'll see a finish. Both guys coming off finishes in their last fights. I think we'll see one here on Saturday.
James, we talked about a lot of the fighters that really struggled to make weight. Five of those fighters that we saw on weigh-in day today. When I think of pro in UFC, I think of Neil Magny. Right. The guy is just a guy you can certainly depend on. And Dana White and the company has certainly done that through the years. Now he's in the co-main event here at 170 pounds against D-Rod, Daniel Rodriguez. This line has moved a little bit as the week's gone on. It feels like Magny is the respected fighter. I know D-Rod in the last fight out against the Leech, maybe not the most impressive way to get your arm raised, but he did, in fact, get that win. There are some advantages here for Magny when you look at the tail of the tape, 6'3 versus 6'1. He does have a 6-inch reach advantage against D-Rod. What do you make of Magny being a $1.25 favorite?
I think there's some value there. This is a tricky fight, though, because here's the problem. Daniel Rodriguez hits like a truck, and we've seen Magny get finished and drop before. Max Griffin nearly did it in his fight with Neil Magny. I could see a similar thing happening here with Daniel Rodriguez. But here's the thing with Magny. He's fought better opposition. I really put a lot of strength into his schedule and who he's fought. And you know, you look at some of the losses there against really top guys. The last guy he fought in Shavkat Rakhmonov might be one of the future contenders in the weight class, right? So I think with Magny, he just needs to neutralize a lot of Rodriguez's weapons. I think if you want to, you know, get some better value on Magny there, play Neil Magny by decision. He does not finish a lot of his fights. Daniel Rodriguez, he has been finished, but he's also very durable as well as far as, you know, taking him out. I think Magny by decision is a good play. And if you do like Rodriguez at all, I don't think he'll get another decision like he got in the last fight. Again, I thought that should have gone the other way. Mm-hmm. I think if Rodriguez wins, it's likely by knockout and it's likely early. So maybe look at that knockout prop, the first round pop, if you like Rodriguez. But I think more likely than not, Neil Magny wins the decision here.
Yeah, and that's plus money there, plus $1.30 for Magny to get it done if it goes all three rounds. And again, I always try to remind myself, James, when I feel like I'm on the wrong side of a decision that I should have won, I go, wait, I got the D-Rod one against the Leech, and maybe I shouldn't have gotten that one. So we got to remember those and not just the ones that go against us. The main event, Marina Rodriguez here against Amanda Limos here at 115 pounds. Limos easily making the weight, 114.5. Rodriguez makes it 115.5. I think we understand stylistically what we might see here in a potential five-round main event here where Rodriguez would like to keep her on the edge of her punches here. But what's really intriguing to me is, yes, she's got a two-inch height advantage, but the reach is identical. Do you see this fight going down to the mat at all? Or do you see Limos trying to get inside and make this maybe a stylistic fight that Rodriguez doesn't want to have, maybe in the clinch?
I think at some point it will go to the ground, but I do see this being more of a stand-up fight. And it's kind of like the fight we just talked about with Magny and Rodriguez, although no, you know, reach or height advantage per se. But I think that, you know, Lamos is going to go for that knockout punch. She's going to go, you know, we've seen her get impressive knockouts in that weight class. But the problem is she's fighting a girl in Marina Rodriguez who's never been finished. She's got that 5-round experience. I think what you're going to see over this fight is, you know, maybe Lamos stealing a round or two, or maybe, you know, maybe landing some better punches here. But I think ultimately Rodriguez is so smart. You look at who she's fought in that weight class. Her last loss was a split decision to the current strawweight champion, Carla Esparza. Mm-hmm. I just have a hard time seeing Marina Rodriguez get finished in this fight. I think Rodriguez is going to win a decision. I don't know what has been with these women's main events, but they've all gone the distance. So I could see another similar thing happening here with Marina Rodriguez. Again, if you want some better pricing there, take her. The fight goes to the distance. I know some some other people feel like, you know, will go, you know, might get a later finish in this fight. But I just think Rodriguez is too smart. She's not going to play into Lemos's game. Lemos has a puncher's chance here, but I don't think Rodriguez is going to be, you know, making that mistake. And let's also not forget, she was kind of passed over for a title shot here. I think Rodriguez needs a good win here to make that claim to fight the winner of Carlos Barza and Weili Zhang, which takes place next Saturday. So I think you'll see her be very smart and pick up another decision like she's done so many times in her career.
James, it's almost like you read my mind, because I was like, if she looks really good, are we talking about a title shot now for Marina? Because it feels like you're looking for new challengers at 115, not just named Rose Namajunas, right? So this really could, if she looks good, and by the way, by decision plus $1.65, win by finish, the same price point at plus $1.65. Do you think she's thinking in those terms?
Yeah, I think she's thinking, you know, I'm sure she'd love to finish the fight, but if you just look at her career historically, one knockout win, if I'm not mistaken, at least recently against Amanda Ribas, which very impressive. No one's really done that to Ribas before, but I think that's the exception to the rule. The rule is Marina Rodriguez usually goes the distance.
All right, James, great to have you back in the program north of the border there in Canada. Come on down to Vegas. We'll catch a cold one. Lynch on Sports is where you follow him on Twitter. Enjoy the fights. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
There he is, James Lynch, everybody. When we come back, Dan Vreeland's going to join the program. It is First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
This episode is brought to you by Yes on Prop 27 and DraftKings. Half the country already allows online sports betting for adults 21 or older. It's time to let Californians in on all the action. There's no good reason your friends in New York, Chicago, Phoenix, Portland, Boston, etc., they can bet online. But Californians, they got to still deal with those shady bookies. So Prop 27 ensures California finally catches up to the time. So vote yes on Prop 27. Back here, First Strike here, Dave Ross at Las Vegas at Circus Sportsbook in fabulous downtown Las Vegas. Always a pleasure to catch up with Dan Vreeland, writer at Sports Gambling Podcast and Cageside Press and host of Top Turtle Podcast and MMA Gambling Podcast. Dan, great to have you back in the program. First of all, tell the people about the podcast very quickly before we get in the card, what they get when they tune in.
So for the Top Turtle MMA podcast, it's a little bit of a variety show. Me and my co-host on that one like to break down just like a couple of the top fights. We try not to get too deep. And then there's also two interviews with people who are on the card. So this week I'm talking with Jake Hadley and Johnny Munoz, who are both on this weekend's card. And then on the other one, the Sports Gambling Podcast, me and my co-host Jeff Fox, we run down the entire card. We make pretend that we have to bet $100 on every single fight, which is obviously not a profitable way to do anything, but we make pretend that that's the best way to go about things. And we give what our pick would be if we had to put $100 on the fight.
Absolutely love it, Dan. I miss my time of talking to a lot of the fighters like you do now on those podcasts. So take a listen to them. I want to get to some of those because I know you have a two-way parlay that you like maybe with Hadley and Munoz. Tell me about that parlay and why you like those fighters and what you glean from those conversations.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the conversations that made me feel that way. I love the stylistic matchups in both of these fights. So, you know, for Johnny Munoz, he's fighting Ludovic Shaolinian, a guy who we saw on the, not the Contender Series, the Ultimate Fighter. And really the problem with him and the reason he didn't go further is he got out-wrestled. And he's a guy who has good wrestling in the first place, but badly got out-wrestled in that fight. And Johnny Munoz is a guy who I think people are sleeping on just how good of a wrestler he is. You know, he kind of got caught in his last fight, didn't look as good as he kind of had in the past, and I think he's set here to out-wrestle Ludovic Shaolinian probably pretty easily for 15 minutes. Now, when you look at the number, it doesn't look that sexy, right? We're up over -$2, so I like putting him with Jake Hadley, who's pushing -$3, being, you know, a guy who, you know, he was hyped up coming into the UFC, and he lost his debut, and I think a lot of people wrote him off on that, but I think he's in a similar situation. The reason I like both of them together is Jake Hadley is a guy with good offensive wrestling. We saw him do that in Cage Warriors when he beat Luke Shanks, and we saw him do it on the Contender Series when he beat Mitch Raposo. Came in, didn't look as good with the wrestling. I think some of that is the travel, some of that is, you know, ring rust, some of that is octagon jitters, all that kind of stuff. But he's fighting a guy in Carlos Candelario who really has given up a lot of takedowns, and yeah, he scrambles well and stuff like that, but I think we're going to see both of these guys kind of like grind out pretty easy decisions with their wrestling. So with, you know, the big numbers next to both of their names, I think they're kind of fun to put together, and you can get them just about plus money if you do that.
Yeah, plus $1.10, and I like where your head's at there, because again, we always talk about, you know, portfolios for wagers in this space here. And sometimes, even if it didn't hit per se, sometimes you played those straight, you're going to lose more than you would lose potentially on a two-way parlay if it doesn't cash. And if it does cash, instead of laying those big numbers, now you get the plus money at plus $1.10. So it just makes financial sense as well. And very quickly, Candelario did miss weight today as well. Does that affect the handicap for you either way?
So it's tough for me to say how it misses weight. And by the way, five fighters missed weight. One eventually made it on the third attempt, I believe Shanna Young did. But yeah, five fighters missed weight. It's hard for me to tell exactly how I feel about people missing weight. Sometimes I got to see them on the scale and, you know, usually see the first 10, 15 seconds of the fight before I can really tell. Because a lot of times missing weight can come down to either didn't try or had a bad weight cut. You know, sometimes you see people fighters miss by 5-6 pounds. And it's part of the reason why their opponents turn down those fights more than anything is that those 5 or 6 pound misses are often guys who are just, you know, gave up a little bit too early in the game, knew they weren't going to make it. But all of these misses are right around 1.5 to 2, which makes me think that they really pushed themselves to make it. It was just, you know, something biological going on or, you know, that last pound wouldn't shut off, which usually bodes pretty poorly. If you're looking for, you know, stats on fighters who miss weight, they're losing about 68% of the time.
Wow.
So the fact that, you know, like you said, Candelario did miss weight here, and he's a guy who's going to want to grapple and gives up takedowns. Getting up from underneath a guy like Jake Hadley repeatedly is definitely going to wear him out in this fight.
Yeah, it's a great point too, Dan, because again, for guys that don't try, and a lot of times why these fights get canceled is because then you're almost fighting at somebody else in a different weight class. I mean, that's what it is. I know there are 10 bad differences for the majority of the UFC weight classes, but it's like, why would I, you know, subject my career potentially going down a couple rungs in the ladder with a fighter who's not even attempting to make weight? The ones that do attempt and don't make it, sometimes those are rougher. And I thought a 68% clip, that is information you can certainly use there. I want to talk a little bit about that fight with Miranda Maverick against Shanna Young here, because Young, I believe she made the weight by cutting off her hair at the last instance. I thought that was a wives' tale, Dan, but apparently it actually works.
Yeah, I don't know if it actually works or if they just gave it to her after she did it, because it doesn't feel like she probably had a half pound of hair on her. But hey, you know, props to her for getting it done. I will say I am a little bit worried about how she looked on the scale. The way she weighed in the first time, I did get a chance to glean the clip of her getting on the scale. And originally I was saying, I really hate Miranda Maverick's odds in this fight. Like, you know, put a gun to my head and ask me to pick a winner, I'm picking Miranda Maverick in this fight. Right. Obviously, she's a -675 favorite. But I do worry about that number because Shanna Young has fought up at bantamweight, and she is a very physically strong fighter. And Miranda Maverick's somebody who likes to bully, who likes to get in there, get in the clinch, rip you to the ground, hold you down. And I just worry about how that works against somebody like Shanna Young here. And granted, it did work against Shanna Young. She fought her earlier in her career. Worked great against her there. But now that Shanna Young's kind of bulked up a little bit, matured a little bit, fought up at bantamweight a little bit, I worry about it. The weight miss helps me a little bit. But yeah, I'm not ready to lay anywhere near the money line on there. you might catch me slightly tempted by the plus 130 submission prop on Maverick. But apart from that, I'm pretty much staying away from this one.
Yeah, not a good practice to get into laying those $7 favorites almost in case that big upset comes. That can ruin your whole portfolio for a fight card there. You've got a couple fights that are intriguing to me where you found some plus money here on some dogs. I want to talk about Derek Minner here. You like him in this fight coming up, and you also like him with a nice prop here to get even better than plus $1.75. What do you like out of Minner in this matchup?
Yeah, I like a lot of things about Minner in the first place. He's a great grappler. I think people see the two back-to-back losses, and granted, they were against great opponents, Ryan Hall and Darren Elkins, and people see those losses and instantly think, oh, he's on a down skid, or you know, he's on his way out of the UFC or things like that. He's an exceptional grappler who just happened to run into two very exceptional grapplers, two guys who do even better on the mat than he does. He's great with the submission game. I see him posted right there at plus 330. And while Shayulan Nurdambik is a guy who a lot of people think has good grappling and think has good takedowns, and he did in his last fight, he was caught in an armbar by TJ Brown, was forced to pick that dude up, drop him on his head to try to get out of it, and he almost didn't. And that happened in the first round of that fight. He also found himself on the bottom of TJ Brown a couple of times. I personally think Derek Minner is a bigger submission threat than TJ Brown, a better submission threat than TJ Brown. And I think Shayulan's going to have a lot of trouble with it. So at plus 330, I mean, I think it's worth, you know, going the extra mile and not just taking the money line here.
Wow. Okay. One other dog that you like here, Vidal against Pascual here. And not just by a random victory, you've got a prop here on a sub to get you 5-1 here. Tell me why you think this sub is live and in play.
So I think this sub is live and in play for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think Vidal has really good submission skills. I saw her win by heel hook recently, and it wasn't the prettiest looking heel hook, but she basically fell off of a mount and she's like, well, there's a leg and I got it. you know, she's somebody who looks to finish no matter what. And I like that about her. And Pascual showed in that Josie Nunez fight, she's not easy to knock out. So if Vidal is going to get the finish here, and I do think she's going to need to get the finish, because, you know, one of the other things you'll find about Vidal is she tires out pretty darn quickly. Like, after the first round, she's pretty exhausted. You know, I saw some people knocking the fact that she's only posted at negative 130 and Pascual has not looked good in the UFC. That's true. But I think if this fight gets late into the fight, Pascual is going to look better and better and better. So Vidal comes out like she's looking to end the fight right away. She's always looking to end the fight. If she gets it done early, I think it's going to be with the sub. So, you know, the fact that you can get 5-1 on that, I'm all over it. If she's winning, that's how she's winning. So I don't want the, you know, push aside the negative 130. Give me the plus 500.
Hey, go for the 5-1. You're right, because if she tanks and she gasses, that's not going to be in play. But if she wins, that's probably the better avenue of approaching. Again, Pascual did miss weight, so Ramona may be a tough weight cut for her. So look for Vidal early at 5-1. Dan, great stuff as always, my friend. Always love catching up with you. Stay warm up there in Massachusetts. Enjoy the fight card. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you.
There he is, everybody. Dan Vreeland. When we come back, we're going to go to Washington, D.C. Catch up by the numbers analytically from Reed Kuhn next here on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Start your morning with VSiN's newest podcast, VSiN Daily Morning Bets. Josh Applebaum gives you every piece of info you need to be ready for betting the day's biggest games in just 15 minutes. He discusses line moves, injuries, and what you're going to need to be looking for before you make those bets. So make the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast part of your morning routine. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Back here on First Strike, I am Dave Ross in Las Vegas. Always a pleasure to go out to Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, catch up with Reed Kuhn. Of course, does a great job here with us and also on ESPN. Reed, great to have you back in the program. Again, author of the book Fightnomics. You can follow him, as I do, under that same title on Twitter. You know, I want to get right to the main event here. When I look at what your numbers are going to show here, when you break them down analytically, between Marina Rodriguez here against Amanda Lemos, I think you've got enough good data points now, because not saying that they're old established veterans, but at 35, you've got a pretty good volume on both women here. What are the numbers showing you Rodriguez right now over a $2 betting favorite?
Well, first of all, we're probably going to see them stand and trade on the feet. Not a lot of takedowns between them. If anyone is going to take it down, it's probably Lemos, but even then she's pretty hesitant. So they're going to strike, and they're both pretty good at striking. So when you have people that are confident in their hands, I think that's what they're willing to do. They're going to test each other. But in terms of the factors here, I think Lemos is unexpectedly perhaps one of the more dangerous strikers on this card. If you actually look at who has the most career knockdowns, who has the highest per strike landed knockdown rate, it's Amanda Lemos. And this is a card with, you know, Daniel Rodriguez, heavyweights on the card. So that was unexpected. And at first I was thinking, maybe the numbers are going to take me the other way for the underdog here. It actually didn't. I landed on Rodriguez as a worthy favorite, and it's the efficiency. So when you're looking at two people duking it out, if you don't get that knockdown, it boils down to who is landing more consistently. And Rodriguez seems to be the one who does that. She's more efficient. There's a number they often put on the screen, significant strikes landed per minute. That differential favors Rodriguez here. She's just more efficient at landing more damage and not taking a lot in return. And in a standing duel between two strawweights, that probably counts for something.
That's fascinating, Reed, because again, if you look at for the fight to go the distance, plus $1.10 without picking a winner here, if it does go all five, do you see any finishing potential if they're going to stand and trade? Because I think you're right on. Lemos might want to get into the clinch more, get inside. She's 2 inches shorter here. Rodriguez obviously would like to keep her on the edge of the jab. We've seen that scoring has gone a different way here with the metrics of who's doing the more damage. So Rodriguez could do more on points, traditional points. Could that factor in here if it does go all five, if it looks like Lemos gives more damage out there versus maybe the pitter-patter style of Marina Rodriguez?
I do expect it to be close. And if you're looking for that prop, maybe Lemos dangerous in the first and second rounds, that could pay out pretty big. You know, an underdog getting a finish in the strawweight division, that's probably a high payoff. But I think the longer this goes, we've seen Rodriguez fight. She beat Watterson in five rounds. So that tells me a lot, because I have backed Watterson before successfully in some pretty high profile fights. So getting past Michelle Watterson in a five rounder tells me that Rodriguez knows how to fight a five round fight. Lemos, we haven't seen her go that far. She also has a win over Watterson, but she did it quite quickly. So I think maybe the finishing potential early is with Lemos, but as long as we survive that early onslaught, I think Rodriguez pulls away.
You mentioned D-Rod here, Daniel Rodriguez, and the finishing potential that he has when the numbers, and it's surprising that Lemos is right up there in the likes of a D-Rod here. Going up against Neil Magny at 170 pounds, look, Magny's been a guy, it's hard for me to get off that train because he's been very profitable as a dog, but now he's a favorite at -$1.25 against D-Rod. What do you make of this matchup here? Is this a live dog now here for a +$1.05 on D-Rod?
I think it is. I think he is a live dog, and it's because it's a striker versus grappler situation. Classic matchup styles make fights. But D-Rod, you know, didn't look great in his last outing. I was sitting with you in Vegas for that fight. We really had to sweat that one. We were on the right side, but definitely worth a sweat. Just wasn't really the usual gunslinging kind of guy that we're expecting. But fighting Magny is not going to be able to stand for 15 minutes with Rodriguez. I don't think so. Magny is at a point in his career. He's been dropped 8 times. He has this abnormally long reach, and that does help him on the feet. But I don't think he wants to stand and trade leather with Rodriguez. Rodriguez would welcome that if that's what's going on. The more important thing is, can Rodriguez stay off his back? I did look back at a few fights. Rodriguez hasn't dropped a decision yet, and he has been taken down multiple times in the same fight and then came back to win. So I am hoping that even if he does get down, he can get back up again. He has that escape. Magny with the wet blanket, backpacking people, that is always a concern. And that's actually what led me to back him as an underdog many, many times over the years. And he's come through. But this is, again, you know, he's a little bit more mature now. He's taken some damage. I'm hoping that Rodriguez can force at least a few minutes of each round on the feet, and at some point he's going to make Magny pay.
Yeah, it's a great point. And again, you and I did sweat that one out against the Leech there. We're on the right side of the decision, so sometimes, again, I like to say, remember those people when you go, oh, I got jobbed on that decision. Sometimes they do go your way, as they did that night for us. Let's keep going down this card a little bit in the main event. Josh Parisian is a small dog against Chase Sherman. You don't see Sherman very often in the favorites role here in the heavyweight division with the big boys, and these are big boys, 255, 265, about the same age, the same height. So I know you've got data points here. What are they showing you? And I guess most people are assuming this one is not going to hit the cards.
Yeah, and we're not only are we looking at heavyweights, you look at head strike defense, and both guys are not very good. So they are willing to take punches, and in this division, you can't really do that for very long. Both of them have been dropped before. But I do like Chase Sherman here. It's interesting. I was looking at him, and I thought I might like him as a dog. He actually flipped into the favorite position. So I'm not going to go too crazy here. It's a small bet for me. But I do like Chase Sherman. And I think it's just the fact that he has a little bit better defense. Parisian, if he's letting opponents tee off on him and land one out of every two strikes they throw, that is dangerous. And especially in this division, you know, he is not invincible. He has been dropped. So I like Chase Sherman here, but you're right. It's the inside the distance potential. If these two guys are just slinging it out, somebody's going to fall down.
Yeah, if you want to get bold and think this fight's going to go all three, plus money here without picking a side, plus $1.65. That's not where my money is going to be, certainly, on Saturday night. Reed, we look at Nate Maness here going down in weight to 125 to take on Tagir Ulanbekov here. Ulanbekov easily making the way to 124.5. Tougher weight cut for Nate in this one, going down a weight class. Do you have enough data points here to support the dog, or do you think the favorite is the rightful one?
No, I like the favorite here, and it's another stylistic mismatch. It's the ground metrics that make me like Ulanbekov. And then I look at his hands and realize he's actually pretty competent with his hands too. And so he has a dual threat advantage here. I do want him to do this on the mat. That would be better. Nate Maness does have some hands. He's dropped 2 people or has 2 knockdowns at a pretty high rate. But Tagir, I like him all over. And I just hope he makes it more of a safe fight in this weight class, takes it down where he belongs. He's going to be a grappler.
And you can get that price tag there on Tagir at -$1.05 via decision. Is that a worry for you that he's got finishing capabilities? Because the sub for the big favorite is only 4-1. So the betting market might be telling you that there is some danger here that he might be able to get Nate out of there.
Yeah, he hasn't had a lot of attempts in his UFC career. I think only 1 actual submission attempt, and it didn't convert. So it's not like he's doing that a lot. He was winning by decision in his 2 victories, and then he lost a 3rd decision, but that was against Tim Elliott. Tim Elliott, if you've ever watched that guy fight, just imagine squirrels wrestling. It's you know, impossible to keep track of all the transitions going on. So no shame in losing that matchup on the ground. But yeah, his other fights, you know, not necessarily against big name guys. He didn't submit them. He just used the safe route with the wrestling. Nate Maness, when I looked at it, each time he's been taken down, he spent several minutes there.
Oh,
he's not a guy who gets up very quickly or escapes very quickly. And if that's the case, then Taguir is going to hold on to him, pin him down, wet blanket the guy. So I would probably be leaning the over here and just not count on anything unusual. But I like the fact that Taguir can also hold himself on the feet as well.
Speaking of wet blankets, we're anticipating a wrestling match between Dawson and Mattson here. Mark, of course, is still undefeated. Grant did miss weight on this one, coming in at 157.5. So fight still goes on here. Does that change the handicap in the numbers at all in the breakdown here?
Yeah, this is a wrestler's delight. Weird. You know, you see both guys love to attempt takedowns. Actually, it's Dawson who uses them at a much higher rate. He doesn't convert them as well as Mark Mattson. Both guys tend to be in control when they're on the ground, but massive age difference. So Dawson probably is more dangerous with his hands just based on the age of Mattson. I did like Dawson. I saw that weight miss. It was a weird one too, kind of weighed in early, didn't even try to make the weight. You can't read too much into the body language, or at least I try not to, because it might lead me astray. But Grant Dawson, I agree with him as a favorite. This is one I'm going to pass on. Just take me over.
Absolutely. Reed, always appreciate the time and the information, my friend. Again, follow him as I do on Twitter at Fightnomics. Come on back out to Vegas. We'll sweat out some fights together again. Want to thank, of course, Guto Finocchiaro, James Lynch, Dan Vreeland, and Reed Kuhn for joining. Robin Moreno, Matt Santos, great job behind the glass. Thanks for watching First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for watching First Strike. Of course, subscribe on YouTube, and we always have First Strike First Look for you each and every Tuesday as we give you the best of the numbers before we get to First Strike each and every Friday. So download on iHeart, Apple, or your favorite podcast. Thanks for watching First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.